Hey guys, welcome back. We are wrapping up our How to Become an Embodied Catholic Leader podcast series.
Yes.
This has been kind of long.
It's been a journey.
But I'm very excited. I learned a lot from this series. So go back and start listening if you haven't. But this is our final podcast on this.
Yeah. We're going to be leaning into that final leadership principle, producing value. Catholic leaders produce value, right? And they produce value that other people want. In fact, if other people don't want it, guess what? It's not valuable. And there's been plenty of times that I can own where I produce something that ultimately was a product that nobody wanted, right? And maybe you've been in that situation before. You had an invitation, you had an event, maybe you had a Bible study, and you put it out there and you follow the principle. If you build it, they will come, but we didn't present it in a way that was truly valuable. We're going to be getting in how you can shape your product or your event or whatever it is that you're offering in a way that people perceive it as value. Specifically, your target audience sees it as valuable, whether it's your kids, your students that you teach, the people you minister to in your parish, whomever it is, your clients. It's going to be a really helpful podcast.
Yeah. So the name of this podcast is The Key to Getting People to Say Yes.
Yes.
I love it. So we cannot wait to share some of our tips, things that we've learned along the way in there with you. We'll see you in there.
Cool. See you guys in there. Hey folks, welcome to the Catholic Coaching Podcast. My name is Matt.
And I am Aaron.
We are the Ingolds, the founders of Metanoia Catholic, where we aim to make mindset coaching authentically Catholic and practical.
We just love to take all of these tools and techniques and share them with you on this podcast. We also train and coach other Catholic coaches.
Come on into the podcast. Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back. We are
just after Christmas, but we are in the octave
of
Christmas as this is releasing.
Yes. And the high volume of birthday week in your family, the Ingold family.
Yes.
How many birthdays do we have in between Christmas and New Year's?
Okay. Well, if you count Jesus, we got him on the 25th. Yes. We got Max on the 26th. We have my mother and Sarah on the 28th. We have me on the 31st. What?
Yes.
And then we get Mary on the 1st.
New Year's Day.
We've got six right here.
It's crazy.
Inside a week. So it's birthday season here in the Ingold family.
Yeah, we started voting that Shannon wasn't allowed to have babies in that week anymore, okay? Now, of course, we were very pro-life. We want her to have babies all the time.
Yes.
Just that week, man.
I don't think we have that much control over her life.
I'm just kidding. No, we've never asked her that.
That would be weird. Love you, Justin. But hey, we're back here, and sporting a wonderful little sweatshirt here.
You see this?
We got a little new merch that's added to our website, so you can start getting some sweatshirts, t-shirts, stuff like that for Metanoia Catholic. Sport it. We're going to have Abby and Hannah walking around sporting these guys at SEEK 2024 in the coming week here. So if you're going to be at SEEK, we even have a Metanoia meetup schedule.
Yes. If you're close to SEEK at all, I think, where is it? In St. Louis?
It's in St. Louis, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're close to it, go pop in. Go check out their Metanoia meetup. I think they're just doing it like at a bar that's somewhere close to it.
They are. It's, what's it called? It's like Rosita's or something like that. And they've got a room reserved upstairs. They're going to get a bunch of nachos, stuff like that. And
nachos.
Hors d'oeuvres. And you can just enjoy and hang out and talk about all kinds of stuff about what God is doing in your life and the amazing plans he has. So,
yes.
And enjoy yourself at SEEK. Pray for us while you're there at SEEK.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this.
Let's do it. Okay.
We are talking about, we're still on our leadership series, and this is the final episode of our leadership series. Now, I think we could talk for months on this topic alone.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have an entire course that is it's for coaches, but it's called the Value Formula Course. And we really walk new coaches through this process of really creating value, producing value for people. But really what we want to talk about, the name of today's episode is The Key to Getting People to Say Yes.
The key to getting people to say yes, specifically to a value proposition. Think about it. Because we're talking, this is all underneath the umbrella of that final principle, leadership principle here of producing value, right? Leaders ultimately, yes, they have a vision, but that vision, when it's made flesh through your team and through all the influencing that you've done, the investment of your resources that you've done to bring this about and turn it into an offer, you want to pitch it in a way that people perceive it as valuable. If they don't, they're not going to say yes to it. And we think about this, what we're going to be discussing here in this podcast is about improving the likelihood that somebody's going to say yes to anything that you offer, whether it's, hey, this is what we've got for dinner. Mm-hmm. This is what I want to do with our weekend.
Yes.
This is why you should come to Mass with me. This is why you should join this Bible study.
And these are not empty claims too, by the way. It's not just like they're perceiving the value and then you don't deliver on it. No, the name of this is to produce value. So mm-hmm. you want to be able to like say what you mean and mean what you say, and then also give them what you're promising.
Yes, yes. It's very annoying, and we've done it before. And in fact, our next episode, we're going to be sharing... You know, sharing about some expensive lessons where we've haven't really followed this. And I don't even want to say we haven't followed this. We're just in the process of following this because
it's just failing, a longer process.
Yes, it's a little bit longer, and there's lessons learned on how we could have done it better in hindsight. But anyways, it's lessons learned on how to continue to discover what is it that the people that you desire to serve, what do they perceive as valuable, and how do you present the gift that God has put on your heart to give to them in a way that they would say yes to it. And when you think about it, our yes, you guys, it's the most valuable thing that we have to give. Mm-hmm. Our yes, that's our will. Our will is the thing that God doesn't even interfere with that gift. He gives it to us, and he allows us to say yes or to say no. And when you think about the power of a yes, you know, we don't have to look any further than our Blessed Mother, right? And we're talking about it beforehand. Father Chad Ripperger talks about how just you can sum up the Christian journey with...
I think he was quoting St. Thomas Aquinas. It wasn't just him.
But, great, great. Even better, right? A doctor of the church. But you can sum up the Christian journey with just this saying yes to the Lord. Am I saying it right, Aaron?
Yeah,
right.
It's submitting your will to God's will.
Ah, so beautiful.
That's the submission. That is the pinnacle of the Christian journey is submitting your will to God's will. Now, you got to know what God's will is for your life. I mean, there's some other elements going on here, but it's to saying yes to him. I mean, that's the Blessed Mother.
But even that, like if you walked up to a person and said, like, are you willing to submit your will to God, right? We know that that is the ultimate solution. We know that that is going to bring about all the ultimate solution to all of the problems that they have, and it's going to lead to this great fulfillment. It's going to lead to the beatific vision, what they were created to experience for all eternity. But how many people are really going to be open to that? How many people are going to be triggered by that word submit, right? And they're going to run the other way. Why? Because we live in a world that there's a spiritual battle going on, and these lies have kind of woven their way in that God can't be trusted. God is not out for our best interests. He's out to get us. He's, you know, we're just a bunch of gladiators fighting, and he's the one that's kind of arbitrarily saying who gets to win.
It's the wicked and lazy servant.
It's the exact disposition of the wicked, lazy servant. Okay.
If you haven't listened to our other podcasts, we talk about that in the past, but bringing it back to creating value, okay? Like we could arguably say, no, we could 100% say with absolute certainty that the invitation to follow Christ is the most valuable thing that has ever been presented to us.
Yeah.
This might seem harsh, but I think our church in some ways needs a little work in presenting this value to people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
that was the most charitable way I could say that.
And we're gonna talk about that because there are some very practical ways that we can get better at presenting these invitations and being missional, right? Because our church, we're no longer in Christendom, guys, arguably. We're a missional church. We're inviting outsiders to come apostolic. In, and we're apostolic in that. So this is about how do we shape that apostolic invitation in a way that is going to optimize our yes responses that we get from people and really woo them here.
Yeah, and also leadership too. Yeah. Like, and I want to tie this into the leadership. Why did we choose to talk about this? Why is this one of the principles of leadership? Producing value, like if you're not producing value at the end of it all, like you're kind of being a leader for leadership's sake and you're not actually like improving anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's not becoming incarnate, your leadership. Like there's not that vision coming into reality.
Yeah, and this is something that's in my own reflection on that, Aaron. the times where I have produced something, like a product that people have not responded to in a way that I expected, I can find that I was in my head more than I was in the head of the people.
Yes.
Like I was, it was a product that was more serving myself than it was really curious about their needs and their wants and what they wanted and where they were in their journey and their ability to respond, their ability to understand what it was that I was proposing. So
what I love about this work too, is it really does call you into a place of charity and compassion because you are putting yourself in the people's shoes. Okay.
Yes. Keep going. Okay. So really, what's the journey look like for this podcast? Really a three-part journey. The first part, we want to, word nerds here, we want to define what value is.
Yep.
Because there's a little bit of confusion around value. And Aaron,
very abstract.
Yes. Yeah. You do your course with the value formula, you take people through this, and you have to start here just as understanding what value is.
Yep.
Right? Okay. Second thing is we also want to answer the question, how do we start with what people think they need to get them to choose and want what they really need, right? How do we start with what they think they need to ultimately get them to choose what we know is really going to be the response and get to the root of their problem, okay? And then finally here, what are some steps to understand what people truly want so that you can produce something that people value and avoid producing something like we've done in the past that nobody buys, nobody shows up to, nobody RSVPs, like your pitch falls flat and like nobody cares about your pitch.
Ultimately. And I want to say something to that because sometimes you're charging money. Sometimes you're just literally charging time. You know, you're saying nobody buys, like nobody's investing in something that they find valuable. Like I don't want to give my value for this particular thing. Right, this value of money, time, energy, focus, whatever that is.
Yeah, and stick around. We're going to give an example, too, of somebody, a church apostle that I think is crushing it here. They really are in touch with their people, and there's going to be a little bit of kind of a inviting you in to reflect on some of their marketing materials and understand how they've come to understand their people and why they're so successful, arguably. Okay, defining value, Aaron.
Let's do it.
Let's go, word nerd. Turn it over to you.
Okay. So what is value? I mean, if you look up the word value, it just means worth, something worth. Mm-hmm. It's like the same root, I don't know, of the word worth. I don't have the definition here, but I remember looking it up like a million times. And I know that those two are synonymous with one another. So like something that somebody would find worthy of, like I said, investing something else that they find valuable, their time, their money, their effort, something that people find worthy to do that, right? Worthy enough for that.
Mm-hmm. For the exchange.
Yep. Yes. So what do people find valuable? Well, I mean, you can ask yourself that question, but it is usually a fulfillment to some need or desire or a solution to a problem.
Yeah, I look
like at those two things.
Yeah, and I even look at like it's a fulfillment of need and desire, and that's it. And then, but another way of looking at it is what is a problem that you solve?
Yes,
right, because the need and desire there is a solution to their problem, right? So it's just another way I think of getting to it. That's helpful.
And one more thing too, I think a lot of people are more aware of the problems in their life, and we're gonna get to that too. Mm-hmm. But like more people are more aware of the problems in their life than their aspirations and what they want.
I like that. Yep.
So I personally like to start with problems.
I think it's a good way. Yep.
Because they're aware of it.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was Russell Brunson, a marketer. Mm-hmm. He said that people file you away in their minds under the categories of problems that you solve. Hmm. So It's at least from a business standpoint, right? And so if I don't know, or I think it might have been, StoryBrand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don Miller.
Yeah, he shared this. And so he said, when I go to somebody's website, if I don't know what problem they solve, like why they exist in the first 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Then they're missing the mark because and they're gonna move on at that point. So being very clear on the problem that your offer, your product, your events, your invitation is solving is a very important place to start.
Yep. Yep. And here's the thing. The bigger the problem you solve, the greater value you provide. Mm-hmm. The bigger need or desire you fulfill, the greater value you provide. Think of somebody in the desert. They haven't had water in a couple of hours. It's very dry. Mm-hmm. And you are selling water in the desert. And they happen to have money for it. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's like the perfect storm. It's like, this is a really, really big desire. And it's and a really, really big problem that I'm facing right now, mm-hmm. that I'm very aware of. And I would like to buy that water. That is valuable. That water would be valuable for them, because if they don't drink water, they're going to die. Like, so we would say that's like a big problem that it solves.
Yeah. What are they?
A compelling problem.
So like, even thinking about like, what are the people that you're serving? What are they thirsting for? And here's the big question, folks. And this is where people get it wrong. So I think this is very important. Who ultimately determines the value of what you produce? It's not you.
It's a trick question.
It's not you. And we often think that it's like, oh, I'm the one that gets to determine the value. Even like, I remember Aaron coaching a lot of people. It's like, oh, I got to price my coaching on based on what I'm worth. And it's just like, guess what? You don't determine that. Like first, there's a couple things that are wrong with that statement. But ultimately,
it's self-focused at that point.
It's so focused on yourself at that point. And it's
just
like, what is the problem that you're solving for somebody? What's the value that you're providing to them? And ultimately, they're the ones that are going to make their vote on their attention, mm-hmm. their time, and their pocketbook in terms of whether or not they perceive your offer to be ultimately valuable.
Yep.
Another thing here, Aaron, is we've brought this up here before. And this may be deviating a little bit, so we can get it back on track. But mm-hmm. but getting we here's an example of where I think people will not necessarily get to the thirst that people have. Mm. All right. So people might say, "Hey, I'm offering you healing. I'm offering you healing," like mm-hmm. within this value proposition. Now, somebody may be aware that they need some sort of healing, mm-hmm. but healing is not an end in and of itself. I would argue.
It could be a compelling problem, though.
It's okay.
Yeah. So, right. So I think it might, but I think it would be really helpful to get more specific. Like, okay, what kind of healing? Like, is it inner healing? Is it physical healing? Like, what are, you know, because there's the pompous program that mm-hmm. we are signed up for. It's like, yeah, I want physical healing. I want to like heal myself.
Well, it's healing, right? but what's the greater why behind
yes.
that?
Like yes.
that's where it's just
it's like
hey,
what do they want so that they can blank? Right. So like what is this desire and so that they can blank? So healing.
So that you don't have cancer later on in your life.
Healing is a way to kind of get you on that mission mm-hmm. that God has called you on, because you can't really run or walk on that mission if you don't heal your leg or something like
yes.
that, right? So
yes.
so it's kind of like a way there.
Okay. All right. So which, I kind of deviated there yes. a little bit, but let's get back to this.
Oh, here's one that a lot of our coaches use. They're like, "I know you want coaching." Desire for coaching. I'm like, "Nobody wants coaching. Coaching is a tool. I would call that a feature." Mm-hmm. To be a part of whatever journey you're bringing this person on. But what result do they get at the end of it? What result will they walk away with? What will they know how to do? What will they know how to not do? What will mm-hmm. they what will they stop doing? What will they stop feeling once they work with you? Once they actually enter into this yes and say yes to this offer, mm-hmm. whatever this is that you are producing for them. These are all really good things, because if you go out and create and produce some type of value, you want to ask yourself these questions before you do that, because you might waste your time. You might create an entire product that nobody wants.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've done it before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Recently.
I think of even an example of like marriage preparation. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so you got marriage preparation, you offer it your parish. It's just kind of like, okay, so it's just come for marriage preparation. Well, what's the offer really with marriage preparation? Like, what are they going to walk away with? What's the benefit of it? I mean, could be like, so you don't end up marrying the wrong person. Like that's a value that's there, but do we really present it that way?
No.
Or marriage preparation about laying the foundation for a thriving
yes.
marriage.
That's what I would call feature offers.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the marriage prep is the how are you bringing them mm-hmm. to it? But like, what is the result that they get at the end of this? Like better communication, so on and so forth.
Even Bible study.
Yeah.
Like that's a, like come to a Bible study. And it just presumes that people, you know, find Bible study, like they find that just a value in and of itself. Maybe there's some people that do. They just like, they just mm-hmm. love to kind of study the word of God and their enjoyment. But like, but if more of it was like, hey, at this Bible study, we're going to be understanding the keys behind the greatest story ever told that you're invited into that story. Like, so better understand the story that you're invited into. And when you start to live in that story, that's where you're going to experience your greatest fulfillment, your greatest sense of meaning.
Yeah.
And your great, like, and great purpose that's there. And it's, and mm-hmm. you act like, just couch it pitch it a little bit differently.
Well, it's like, we'll teach you how to read the Bible so that it comes to life for you.
Yeah.
Like that's something that's speaking at least to a greater ache and a need and a desire and even a problem. Like I think a lot of Catholics would be like, yes, I want that because mm-hmm. like, you know, we're like, anyway.
Yes. And so, Aaron, you brought up earlier that it's important to make sure that when you're making some sort of a value proposition, you're creating a product, you can actually deliver on that value proposition.
Please.
Because we're not created to be all things to all people. And this is where ministries, sometimes they through it, it's almost like a lack of humility that they just keep increasing the scope of what they do as if there's no expertise that's required.
I think it is a good intention. You want to reach as many
people
as possible.
You want to serve, but
yeah.
But you can
a lot of coaches
you can
do
get
this
stretched very you can get stretched yep. very thin. You can get mm-hmm. stretched very thin, and all of a sudden you start saying yes to things that really aren't in your wheelhouse. They're not things that God has designed you to do, right? And when we start to just be the answer to everybody's need, we stop partnering mm-hmm. with other people, right? And creating space for other people to really step in there. So I mean, going back to the organizational mission,
yes,
is a really good litmus test if you're a leader of an organization.
Yes.
To see, like, okay, is this problem that we think we want to solve?
Yeah,
is it really ours to solve?
Okay, so a couple points. I want to cover down on this. So
yeah.
Value. All right, let's talk about value. Value is a solution to a problem and a fulfillment of some need, desire, ache in people. Right. The bigger the problem, the more valuable it is. The greater the ache, the more valuable it is. And people exchange value for value. That's another principle. So they will exchange their money and their effort and their time and their resources for something that they find valuable. Another point too I want to make is please be able to deliver on this value. Like don't lie to them in the value proposition and then not give them what that takes integrity and humility and even just that ability to say like, hey, I know that you want to reach this, but like, I can get you here. I can get you to this level, not to this complete level, but even just bringing you to that level will show you that there is progress and there is hope. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I want to say it's really important point that the recipient of the value needs to be aware that they have this need, this desire and problem. We can't just be like, hey, you want coaching, right? You know, like people are like, no, I literally have never like sat and like I wasn't kept up at night thinking about I needed coaching, right? Like that's just, they need to know it and it needs to be in their language. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, so if you are a leader of an organization, a way that you can maybe kind of dig up and find, okay, like this is what people have found valuable in the past, and this is what our organization actually addresses, is to look at the mission statement, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe there's also what you guys could do is return back to our initial segment of this entire series where we're talking about envisioning and discerning a vision that the Lord has placed on your heart as the leader, right? We got to return back to that because within that vision, I'm sure there's bits and pieces of problems that you solve and desires that you fulfill.
Yeah, there's a reason there. And folks, this isn't a linear progress where you just process where you just kind of go from envision one time and then all of a sudden you're just kind of,
you dance back and forth.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It's what we find is when we kind of get the vision of what we want to do, the solution we want to bring, but then we have to kind of test it with
Yes.
Okay, who are the people we want to serve? And then, and what are they looking for? Is this truly meeting the need? Are they aware of this need right now? And then that allows us to refine the actual development of the value proposition, ultimately, that we're making, mm-hmm. the product that we're making, whatever the team is collaborating on, such that it really can be a gift to somebody else. A gift that, and again, what are the components of a gift? The giver is in possession of that gift. The giver is willing to part mm-hmm. with the gift, and you have a willing recipient of the gift. We've done it a couple of times already at Metanoia Catholic where we had a gift, we were in possession of it, but the recipient wasn't open to it. It wasn't really responding to a need.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And even if you've been there too, some of the steps we're going to give you later on are going to help you to get back on track and refine, because it doesn't mean that you just failed at that point. It's like, okay, learning, let's keep going. Aaron, you brought up how important it was, and I think we can kind of move on to this next part, next section of the podcast. Mm-hmm. You brought up how important it was to just make sure that the people are aware of the need that you are addressing with whatever you're proposing. And this is where I think that the church, we can get it wrong. We've already given some examples of this, but we can end up pitching solutions to problems that people don't know they have.
And here's the greatest injustice about it all. We all know that we have the most valuable thing to share with people.
We know, like, that the Eucharist is the answer.
Jesus is the answer. Like, we want to evangelize. One of the most, the most valuable thing that people need, and they ache, and at the actual core of their hearts, they are aching for Jesus. We know that that's the case.
Yeah, there's a reason why the meme, y'all need Jesus, like, keeps circulating around social media.
He is the solution. But we keep getting it wrong. Like, why are people not running to Mass? Why are people not sticking to their daily prayer? What's going on here?
Yes, there's a lot of, and you can answer that question a lot of different ways, but I think a very practical way of answering that question is, because somebody else is responding to the needs that they're aware of. Somebody else is responding, is making an offer and responding to the needs that they're aware of, and pitching a solution that responds to the need they're aware of.
That doesn't help them. That ultimately is not bringing them to their ultimate solution.
It doesn't, it hits a surface level. So, for example, I remember I was talking to a gentleman that had left the Catholic faith, and he was going to an evangelical church. And he said, one of the reasons I love this is because the sermons that we get, they're just so practical. Like, there's a whole focus group right now, or a group study that's about, like, how to budget well and how to manage my finances as in my family. It's like, wow, that's kind of a really neat need, right?
Yeah.
That was a need he was very aware of. And now you have a church that's coming along, and they're saying, we can respond to that need, and we can also do it in a Christian context, right? And whatever thoughts you have about that, it gets them in the door. It gets them showing up. It gets them in the door. And then ultimately, they can start to weave into even that training. It's like, okay, how do we, this whole concept of stewardship and this whole concept of being detached from money and other goods, and how do we do this in a spirit of trust? And eventually, it paves the way for evangelization, even though the problem of solving somebody's budget issues isn't necessarily something that you would necessarily see as evangelization.
For some reason, this Bible story is coming to mind.
Okay.
And I really think Jesus was very good at this. I mean, not only he was the Lord, right? And he was the value that he was providing, but he knew people's hearts too. Like, I think of that exchange that happened with him and Peter. And here he shows him, he gives him value ahead of time. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but he gives him value ahead of time. And he's like, Peter's like tired, and his problems are very aware to him. Mm-hmm. And they've been up all night, and they've been trying to fish, and they've caught nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Really compelling, really big problem, obvious to him. He knows it, literally says it out loud. Like, we've been up all night. Like, really, why is this time going to be different if I lower my nets? Mm-hmm. Jesus goes, lower your nets. He does it, and then gives him, like, all of a sudden there's like this obedience, and then there's a reward, right? Immediate.
Yep.
And then he pulls it up, and it's like huge, huge catch and all this stuff. And then at the end of this exchange, you know, there's some dialogue going on. And then finally, Jesus invites him to be fishers of men. Mm-hmm. He spoke to a deep desire his heart.
A deeper desire.
Yes, deeper desire to his heart. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to help you provide for your family abundantly. And we're not saying that that's the case. You know, that's like more prosperity gospel. But it's like, I'm going to help you provide for your family. Like, there's this human need first. And then it's like a much deeper call on Peter's heart. Mm-hmm. Come in, come in, come in. But if that didn't happen, that first part didn't happen. If Jesus didn't suggest something, Peter didn't obey, and then see the results for it, like, being a fisher of men would kind of make no sense.
Yes, there was kind of a problem reveal with the solution he provided, the abundant catch.
Yes.
It also revealed a problem like that Peter, you know, I'm a sinful man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And then the Lord responds, like, I'll make you a fisher of men. Like, I can take care of you being the sinful man.
Because, and look, I'm just took care of it.
Yeah. And I'm calling you to something greater.
Yeah.
I think also the way that just even the way the spiritual life works. And you see a lot of the spiritual writers talking about this. Father Chad Ripperger, I was listening to a podcast of his today. He's addressing this. In the beginning, the Lord really gives us those experiences of consolation like that. The spiritual cookies that are there. And so what are some spiritual cookies? What are some easy wins that we can give to people up front and deliver on those, and then continue to invite them down to go deeper, to do more, to like, and those easy wins are things that once they experience that easy win, it also reveals a deeper longing that they weren't aware of, right? I think we can just take some of those principles and look at that. I think somebody that does this really well, and we're going to get into it, and we're going to have a little bit of a kind of an interactive session here, but I think there's one organization that I really admire that I think is doing this really well. When I say doing this really well, they're in touch with the needs of their audience and in the language that they express that need, meaning that they present their offer in a way that the audience is
in
like... in their language, where they understand it and they can say, okay, yes, this responds to a problem that I'm aware of. I don't need somebody to educate me on this. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of it. I'm looking for a solution, and they're actively looking for a solution to
who
this.
Who is it?
Marriage Encounters.
Okay, Marriage Encounters.
I think they're crushing it. Yeah. I think, and 3.5 million people, it's tough to argue, that have gone through that. Like, this is making an impact, and I think they nail it on the marketing side, they nail it on the value proposition side, and they're nailing it on the actual delivery of what they promise, and 9 out of 10 people saying they were... you know, they were changed by this experience.
Yeah. Okay. So let's read these out loud. In this first segment, we're going to ask you guys to interact with us. Obviously, you know, you're going to be listening to this podcast.
A little bit of a recording test.
But it's just going to be fun to kind of start to think, and we'll tell you what to look for, but start to think, what is their value proposition? What we mean by that is, like, what is their result that they are, they are giving to this person that this person desires, okay?
In exchange for their yes.
Yes. So we're identifying the desire of the person. This first section. This is taken from their website, by the way. Mm-hmm. So Matt, can you go ahead and read this? So this first paragraph, you're listening to and identifying the desire that the people have.
Yes. And we are not affiliates of Marriage Encounter, just so you know.
Yeah.
We're
also not closed off to being affiliates with Marriage Encounter. So
they're just crushing it right now, and so we're going to celebrate this. Okay. All right. So listen in. What is the offer that they're making here? All right.
What is the desire that they want?
Okay. Here we go. Uncover the secrets of a lasting, supportive, transformational marriage.
Keep going.
Okay.
I'm just underlining.
For more than 50 years, worldwide, Marriage Encounter has helped over 3.5 million couples in almost 100 countries unlock the power of their relationships with new ways to do the I do. The Marriage Encounter experience helps you listen, share, and connect more deeply. There's no group discussion. It's just about the two of you learning to be the best, most loving, and thriving couple you can be.
Okay.
Aaron, what are you hearing here?
I heard lasting, supportive, transformational marriage.
Okay.
Okay. So that created an image in my mind. And I'm like, oh, I know some married couples who could kind of fall into this category. That would be cool. I start to see that. Yes.
Yep.
New ways to do the I do. I love that. It's appealing to me because I'm like, I like novelty. This is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's not stale anymore, right? That's kind of what's going on. These are just words that I heard and I'm seeing. Helps you listen, share, and connect more deeply. That might be somebody addressing a couple who maybe feels disconnected, maybe feels maybe a little bored, I don't know, or not having meaningful conversations or deep conversations. No group discussion. So anybody who might feel private, you know, and just saying like, this is reverence. We don't want to really share. Mm-hmm. We also don't want more obligations than we need, you know, can we do this quicker and faster? Mm-hmm. And then the two of you will be learning the best, most loving and learning to be the best, most loving and thriving couple. Those are the desires that I have identified.
Love it. And one of the things I noticed, what is not in this offer? This is like above the fold on their website, what they're pitching. Ah. Things that are not in there are learn how to pray with your spouse. We're going to teach you how to pray with your spouse better. Or we're going to teach you how to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. Now,
or there's going to be 6 sessions.
Yes. Now, these could be, even those two things that I pray with your spouse and have a deeper relationship with the Lord. I know that those are essential elements of the marriage encounter experience, right? And the whole 3 to get married. But people don't look at their problem in their marriage as I'm not praying with my spouse. Most people don't.
Some people do. Yeah.
They might, but more people I would say is I'm struggling with communication with my spouse.
Yes.
I'm not connecting deeply with my spouse. My spouse isn't listening. There's just a lack of listening and sharing that's going on. Mm-hmm. These are the words that they chose to use because these are the words that most people are using already.
Yep.
When they're talking to their girlfriends or their guy friends about whatever problems that they're having in their marriage. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, we're just lacking communication or something like that.
And another thing that I said too, the reason why I brought up, oh, it's going to be 6 sessions, you know, 6 1-hour long sessions. That's what we would call feature selling. Mm-hmm. So it's like, these are more of the features and that kind of comes later. Mm-hmm. We're not really talking about the features yet. We don't really talk about the features until people want to talk about the features until they start looking for the features.
Yeah, and they do. If you click into their website, you'll find those things because those are important to know.
It's not that they're not there. It's just they're not on the front page.
Yes, it's not opening somebody up. But like this, it's just like, okay, this resonates. And if somebody's not looking for this, they're not looking for the most loving, thriving couple that they can be in their marriage, then guess what? This offer isn't for them.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, so there are some people, they didn't put this blanket offer out there that's just like, and by the way, this is for engaged couples too. And this is for, even though there's probably something that engaged couples could benefit from. And maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they do something for engaged couples. But they're very focused on the group that they're, their target group that's there. And so they're not trying to boil the ocean to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
And they're okay to rappel with their marketing, which is important here as well. Even Jesus allowed people to walk away, you know, sad.
Like somebody who's not married would look up that page and be like, oh, this isn't for me. That's a repellent. It's not like they hate this ministry, but it's because they're just like, this isn't a problem that I have. All right. So let's move on to the next segment. And here's what we want you guys to listen to.
Listen for problems.
We want to, you guys to listen for the problems that are compelling, you know, the problems that they're using, that they're identifying in their marketing language. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. All right. So this is under like problem that they solve. Every relationship is a journey and the grind of everyday life can cause you to lose touch with your spouse. If you have a normal marriage, quote, normal marriage, you know that the, quote, honeymoon doesn't last forever. Long-term relationships inevitably have moments of disillusionment, boredom, or isolation. But that doesn't have to be the end of the story. Make the time to come closer together and learn the tools to keep nurturing your love.
Okay. So here's what I
under... What's the problem?
Here's what I underlined. Grind of everyday life can cause you to lose touch with your spouse. So losing touch, you know, disconnection, all of those things. Like, you know, life is busy and there's no time for this. Honeymoon doesn't last forever. Disillusionment, boredom, and isolation. I love that. I think those three words really kind of sum up the experience that people are going through, especially if they've been married for a while, you know? And so like, even just that story of like, hey, the honeymoon doesn't last forever. So we're also speaking to people who've been married for a little bit longer, right? Who may be feeling bored, isolated, and disillusioned. You are not alone. That's like really what they're saying to you. And then that was it. The end part was really just kind of like giving them their solution.
Moving into the solution at that point. I think what I love about what they do is they give you some diagnostic tools with those words. All right. So if you're reading this and you're a person that's bored in their your marriage or disillusioned in your marriage or you feel isolated in your marriage, if you check one of those three things, it's like, this is for me.
Yep.
Right. And so like we're, and I remember and Don Miller always would say this too, again, story brand, people are looking to disqualify themselves from your offer. They're looking for a reason to say no, because they know their yes is so precious. So know that people are looking for reasons to say no. And if you're giving them a good reason to say no, say like a good reason to say no to this offer is perhaps if you're not feeling bored or you're not feeling disillusioned or you're not feeling isolated or you think that your marriage is great as it is, maybe it's not worth your time right now. But they know that there's plenty of people out there that are experiencing that, and that's really who they're going after. I mean, otherwise, they would say that even if you think your marriage is great, this could be something that next levels it, right? It's not even that's, but that's not part of their offer. So they're going for people that are already experiencing this kind of pain point, and their solution that they provide is one that really addresses those pain.
Yeah.
Pain points.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks for playing with us. Now we're moving on to the final segment of this podcast, and this final step is steps to creating value that people want. Okay.
Yes. And creating value, but also like pitching the value.
Yes.
So when we say creating value,
communicating value.
Yes.
That people want.
But also creating, there's an element of creating it because you got to deliver it.
Of course.
But then the way the presentation of is course. Important.
Which I feel like creating is a completely different podcast. In fact, we actually just took our academy through a process of how to create value.
Well, for people. How to hone your gift.
How to hone your gift.
Yeah.
So if you want some more, I guess, I don't know, higher level work on this, come join us in the academy and you can learn about that.
It's about to get awesome to you guys in there. So like we're going to have a brand new offer. We'll share a lot more of it, but we're going to have a brand new offer for the academy. There's going to be an app component. It's going to be much more interactive. There's going to be an amazing community component of it as well.
And it's quick and easy. It's going to be easy.
Yes, yes.
To navigate.
It's going to be a great tool, but stand by for more on that.
Okay. So steps to creating and I would say communicating first the value that you provide. Identify who you serve. This is very important. Okay. Matt, you alluded to this earlier in the podcast and it's like just this want to help everybody. And I get it. We all want to help everyone, right? It's a very good intention, but it's so much easier when you pick a lane because it makes the rest of this so much easier.
Yeah.
Right. When you actually have a lane that you are really good in helping people solve. And that's actually one thing to ask yourself. What problems am I really good at solving? And who needs the solutions to those problems?
That's even part of our workshop that we just did, how to hone your unique gift. Yeah.
Yeah. So that will kind of help you identify the people that you serve. If you are a leader of an organization or a company that might already be established, so the work is done for you. But that is, we have like a number of classes on this in that training, the value formula, because a lot of coaches, brand new coaches come out and go, I want to help everyone. And I'm like, yeah, you can do that for sure. but they can't find you because you are helping everyone. So mm-hmm. you have to be able to communicate who you do help.
Yes.
So
yes.
who do you serve? Second, get curious about them. Like, so this demands you to actually think about them and get curious about the people that you serve. And this is assuming that you know the people that you serve and you've picked a lane, you've actually picked a group of people.
And this, yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about our new academy.
Yes.
It's because there right now it's kind of like you go to a portal. It's great. But there's no real interaction that takes place unless you're showing up on some of the live calls. This is going to have that, there's going to be that feed area that's almost like your Facebook group where you can actually interact with other people and there's connection that's taking place.
Yep.
And you can support one another and we want to listen to you guys even more and even informing yes. what podcasts we talk about and who we bring on for interviews. We want to bring more people on for interviews in 2024. But we're excited to just hear from you guys so much more.
Yes. Yeah. So this kind of opens up that avenue to talk about it and get more curious about yeah. it. But we want to get curious about what they want, what they need, what they hate, what they worry about, what their problems are. And I'm going to give you guys a couple questions to ask yourself. And this is some of our resources that we've used that we continue to use for even our own marketing. Mm-hmm. So what do they desperately want to stop feeling and doing? What do they desperately want to change in their life? What keeps them up at night? What do they worry about? Mm-hmm. What do they hate? If you notice, a lot of these questions are bringing up these problems, mm-hmm. these problems that people are continually, running into. Mm-hmm. What are they tired of or turned off by? What do they want to conquer once and for all? Right? So these are just really good questions to ask yourself as you are thinking about this group of people.
Yep. Yep.
Some other questions that you could ask to find what they desire is what do they want to achieve? What do they want to master? What do they want to create in their life? How do they want to be feeling? Right. So that could be kind of a problem reveal and a desire reveal here. Mm-hmm. So what do they want to stop feeling? That will kind of tell you the equal side of both of those. What do they want to do with ease and competence? What do they desperately want to start believing? So you can start to ask yourself some of these questions to really contemplate these people. And every time you kind of go back into your own, you're focusing on yourself, just ask yourself some of these questions to move you outward and to literally think. Sometimes I just like to think of a particular person and I picture them in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you just keep your focus outside.
Yeah.
Because I know this is in myself and maybe this is my choleric, nature coming out.
Probably. But no, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, kidding. I want to create something and get it out there so fast. Mm. Even for the satisfaction of the personal achievement that's there, to the point where I don't continually get curious and refine and make sure that what we're investing so much time into and we're getting to market quickly is something that is actually resonating with people. It's something that they really want and what they're responding to. And so, it's funny. I want to be more efficient. That's kind of one of my motivations mm-hmm. as a choleric, but how inefficient that really is where, ultimately spend all this time creating something that people don't ultimately want. Right.
You, and it's yes. just
like, gosh, we
haste could've... makes waste.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's just one question. Asking one question and asking it and not being afraid of what people might say.
And that's it. So that brings us to the next one. So identify who your people are is number one. Number two, get curious about them. Think about them. Think about past conversations that you've had and what they've said. And then ask them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you can confirm or deny what you just, came to, what you just mm-hmm. strategized about. Right. So you're thinking about it at first and then you want to ask them. And then what Matt was saying, you got to be okay with them saying, no, I don't want that, and learn from that no. That is actually the best way around being afraid of no's. Be willing to learn from no's, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people are like, but what if people don't want it? I'm like, okay, great. Go find out why they don't want it. that you can learn from that. And then we go on to giving value ahead of time. So that actually assumes that you start to create something, mm-hmm. right? So you start to create a thing and it could be something quick. I recommend you doing something quick, easy wins for them. And then just test it and be willing to take feedback. Be willing to have people say, this was the worst thing I've ever invested my time in. And then you could go, okay, great. Why? Why is this the worst thing that you've ever invested your time in? I want to make this better. I'm so happy that you told me that. Thank you for your...
your blunt clericness.
Yes. Thank you for being a total jerk. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you want to know why it didn't appeal to them and learn from that. Be willing to learn from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Marriage Encounters didn't launch their website with all that language right out the gate.
No, they've been around for 50 years.
They've been around. Yes. And 3.5 million people, they've been collecting feedback from those people. They know their audience. And that's something, that knowledge is something that they've likely learned through painstaking lessons, painful lessons, perhaps.
Yeah. Right?
But they were diligent and steadfast in knowing that they were there to serve not themselves, but somebody else. And so they allowed themselves to stay in that curious place, learn.
Yes.
And, you know, have such a compelling offer at this point.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Because it can be scary. And I'm not. Yes. And I'm not invalidating that there's a fear around people saying no to what you're offering, because we can become attached to our offers, and our offers are kind of like our little idea babies. And we can go,
it's our identity. Oh, you know, we can make it our identity.
We can make it our identity, which I recommend you don't make it your identity. Mm-hmm. Make it a work in progress, because. And a lot of, I see a lot of coaches run into this. They're like, how will I know it's the right offer? I'm like, well, first you got to remove that word right offer. This is a journey in the middle of a process, right? You are in the middle of the process. You're probably going like, this is like try number one out of 10, you know? So that is, and I'm being generous with that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will go, where do I start? I'm like, take an educated guess. If you've done the other, if you actually were thinking about your people and then you ask them, take an educated guess, like just put something out and then be willing to receive feedback here.
Yeah. Yep.
Examine. Okay. So number five here, examine their response. Listen and watch for their response. Learn from their response. I already kind of spoke about this, but even a non-response is a response. Okay. So if nobody is responding to it, either you have a very non-responsive, you know, group of people, you got to go find another group of people, or you got to make it more compelling. So you
got to make the offer to more
people.
Five people.
Yes.
Right.
There you go.
And an offer isn't just putting a Facebook post out there or an Instagram post. You got to actually in order for it to really be an offer that you can get feedback on.
Yep.
Somebody has to either say yes or no explicitly.
Yes.
You need to get a yes or a no.
Yes. Yeah. And so even when people are like, yeah, not right now, you'd be like, okay, so could you tell me a little bit more about why it's not working? What, I'm not trying to sell you on it. I'm trying to get feedback. I always like to say that. I'm like, because I am trying to get some like actual, I'm not going to try to like push this on you. I just want to know why right now is not the time for you.
I think this could even like a very practical example with this is like, even if you're inviting somebody to mass.
Yeah.
If they say no. Get curious. It's like, it doesn't have to be in a pushy sort of way. It's just like, why no? Or like, what is just getting curious about what is it that what's standing in the way? Do you not see it as it worthwhile for your time or something like just even getting some curious questions that are not condemning for their no, right? But just getting super curious about that. And
I like to reflect back on conversations that I've had with the person in the past and really filling in these gaps of being like, what would make their dreams come true? And then what is their number one problem? What is a consistent problem that they talk about?
Okay.
And then how does going to mass actually help with that? You're not telling them. You can share with them though. Hey, like I totally get it. I really have struggled with anxiety and I am not lying about this, right? By the way, I really struggled with anxiety in the past around this certain area, and I can relate to you. What has helped me in the past is going to a quiet place, going to a place that actually I don't need to produce. I don't need to go out there and like perform for people. I'm just in receptive. I'm receiving. Mm-hmm. And I personally like mass. Mm-hmm. So it's really just a witness at this point. Mm-hmm. But if you're going out and witnessing, you got to be thinking about the people that you're going to be talking to and what problems that they're having. Mm-hmm. And you get better at this as time goes on. Like sometimes you could do it right in the moment. And so, but you want to start practicing this.
Curiosity is a muscle here, folks.
Yeah.
Like get that curious muscle going. All right. Cause if you're not habituated to be curious about other people, it's oftentimes we're habituated to make presumptions about other people.
Yeah. Right?
And that's when we end up making solutions based on a presumption that ultimately nobody wants and aren't valuable.
And I think most people's problem with evangelization is they're so focused on themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate to say that, but they're like focused on how they're going to feel if somebody says no. They're focused on, I don't want to look silly. I don't want to.
Yeah. And when we've really like punted into the stands, I could see that's held true.
100%.
I get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to the steps, identify who you serve, get curious about them, ask them, give them value ahead of time, actually give them free or quick value ahead of time, examine their response. Hey, did this work for you? Did it not? Please let me know. Be willing to learn from the response and be willing to pivot if you need.
Pivot.
Yes.
Pivot.
Yes. Yes. And like, I think that examine portion of like, learn from the response, be willing to pivot, reflect. Maybe it's the right offer, but not the right person. Maybe it's not the right time for them. And then go back to repeating steps 4 through 7 if you need, right? So like, once again, go back to the people, give them value ahead of time, find out what they want, find out what they don't want.
Get curious again.
Yep.
Like the answer is getting curious, asking more questions, asking better questions.
Those questions that I shared are high quality questions. Mm-hmm. And even if you directed them to people, hey, what would make your dreams absolutely come true? Do you know how little people ask anybody else that question? Like if you could build a legacy and it had to be for good, what would you do? You had like tons of money and tons of time and tons of resources. What would you do with all of that?
These are such good date night questions.
Yes.
Y'all, like whether you're going on your first date, like y'all. These are y'all listen, these are just great questions to ask your kids at any age, right? I mean, you'll probably get
hilarious, reasonable answers to anybody under 7.
Yes. But, but so even Aaron, commenting on that step of pivot, right?
Yep.
Pivot and reflect.
Yes.
I think oftentimes we don't do this. And the reason, and I can look at it where I've avoided this and I've had an aversion for it. And it's rooted in this thought that it's got to be perfect the first time. Right.
Yeah. It's a big one.
Oh, it's a big one. It's such a huge lie. And it's so denies the way that humans have been designed by God to learn.
Yes. Right?
God knows that we need time.
Yep.
Thank God we have time and we can use that time to really continue to grow. Right. But there's the humility certainly that's behind that.
Yep.
You know, the reflection and the pivot and the willingness to learn, because the humility to be wrong, right? The willingness to be wrong, that's something that is very important here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
I think that's it, guys.
So sum it up. Yeah. I mean, like really what journey we went on, we define value. Remember, mm-hmm. It's not you or I that like says what is valuable. But it's the other person that you're creating your product for, that you're producing for. They're the ones that determine what is valuable. And we want to get curious about the problems that they have and how whatever we're creating, whatever vision that's been given to us, that we've got this company, we've got this team, we're banding together, we're influencing people, we're managing our resources to ultimately create something that can be a gift, a sincere gift to somebody else. We want to make sure that we're presenting it in a way that is appealing to them. Yep. Or else these stewards of their yes, these people, they're going to give you a big fat no, yep. Right? And it may not be because what you produced isn't valuable, but they don't see the value. We have to get in this practice of being very considerate and curious of the people that we're serving.
I mean, this is also, guys, even considering unique design, you can like, if you are a part of our community and you know the a lot of what we talk about with all the temperaments. Mm-hmm. Yep. All the different temperaments have different areas that they want, right?
Like different motivations, results that they're
ultimately
pursuing.
That they want to rest in. And so you can consider that too. So consider the other person and just being like, what is their temperament? Well, maybe they want to really understand. Okay, so that might be why they're asking a lot of these questions, and maybe why they're maybe struggling with learning something because they keep telling themselves, I want to understand. Mm-hmm. So there is a way of kind of, backwards.
Getting into the psychology of people.
Even with your children too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. So we want to,
And then we talked about the discernment steps really to creating value. And Aaron went through all those different steps and how you can get super curious, stay in that curious place, and continue to refine your offer so that it really is a strong value proposition that people say yes to.
Yep.
All right. Next week, we're going to be kind of giving you guys a little bit of a peek behind the curtains of where we've been creating something, and we realize that we missed the mark a little bit. And so that's going to be all about expensive lessons, right, in creating value. But you know what? Like, it's...
But we did
I'm giving
do this
myself
process.
Permission.
We did. It just took a little bit.
And yes, we did. In hindsight, we look back on where we could have leaned into some of these principles and these steps a little bit better, right? And where we rushed, and where even there was a little bit of vanity and vice that was kind of woven in. I'll own that. That kind of mucked up the process here. But the beautiful thing is God allowed kind of the process to get mucked up so that we can grow in holiness and create something that really truly is a gift to the church that glorifies him. So we're going to be sharing more about that in next episode. So stay tuned.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Merry Christmas. Hey, guys. If you liked what you learned here today, consider joining our academy, where you can take all these tools and learn how to apply them to your life.
Supremely practical stuff, and you get coached along the way in the process. You are not by yourself. We hope to see you in there.